touches you will never be the same. Let's sing it again. He is here. Hallelujah. He is here. Amen. He is here. Holy, holy. I will bless His name again. He is here. Listen closely. Thankful he's here tonight. Amen. We've got quite a few prayer requests. I'll ask Brother Terry if you don't mind to come and pray over these. Sister Chevy Torres would like for us to pray for a little girl named Gloria. She's from Chile in South America. Half of her body got burned after passing too close to a fire. She's in the ICU in the hospital there in Chile. So let's certainly remember that child. Brother Jeff Nunley has a very special unspoken prayer request. Remember that. Pray for Robert Bird from Indiana. He has a cyst on his kidney and also has fluid buildup behind one of his eyes. So let's remember that. Also, Brother Pete Lawson's requesting prayer. He'll be seeing a back specialist tomorrow. Pray they'll find the problem. He's in a lot of pain. Also, pray for Tandy Ward. She's recovering from colon surgery. So let's remember her. Sister Janet Payne would like for us to remember her sister, Janie, and her husband, Jim. They were here over the weekend in service and really enjoyed the service. God seems to be opening them to more revelation, so definitely pray for those folks. Brother Gary Herr would like for us to remember his friend, Pete Vandal. He's in the hospital with pneumonia. Also, Brother Leonard Sizemore is pastor of a church in Fanrock, West Virginia, recovering from the shingles. Brother Byron Palmer would like for us to remember him in prayer, not feeling well. Pray for Robbie Long, who has a lung disease, and a man by the name of Brian, who is very sick. Also, Brother David Johnson turns in a request for his brother Barry Johnson, asking the church to pray for him. He's been diagnosed with cancer, has a tumor on his spine that's preventing him from being able to walk. So let's remember that. If you'll stand tonight as Brother Terry comes. And of course, remember Brother Homer Longoria. You know, his wife, Sister Marge, passed away. So let's pray for that family. I think the services are Thursday and Friday down there, but let's remember those folks.
It's good to be in church again. Brother Ram said one time, said, never lose your enthusiasm for the coming of the Lord. I'm more excited about it now than I've ever been. After 33 years of being in the message, we're at the last lap. We see the ribbon. It's just, we're getting ready, and we're the winner. We're getting ready to pass over. I'm excited about it. I'm excited about it. Heavenly Father, as we come to you in prayer, I just don't know how to express it. I'm just so thankful, dear Lord, that living in this last day, these end time conditions, and the wonderful things that we've been hearing from the ministry here, the brothers, the evangelists on the field. Lord, you've got so many wonderful ministers out there that's preaching this gospel, the truth, the end time, the present day truth. It's just, as the brother said, it's just delicious. And we're just happy to be feeding on the unfailing body word of the Son of Man. We thank you for what Brother Matt Watkins brought us the weekend. It's just tremendous to see the heavens open and what you've done for your children. Lord, I'm so excited to be part of it. I'm thankful. We're not worthy of it, but you give it to us. And we're happy to receive it. And we're thankful for it. And we're glad to be part of it. I pray, Lord, tonight, especially that first request, I think it was a girl down in Chile, was burned. Lord, I pray that you would not only comfort her heart, but you would comfort her by giving her a healing touch, a sad condition. But I pray, Lord, because I know you're never present help in a time of trouble. You've already paid the price that you received those stripes which burned on your back, that she doesn't have to remain in a burned condition. I pray that you'll touch her. And Lord, Brother Homer, his precious wife, has passed on, graduated. I know it's That's even though you try to make preparation, you can never really make preparation for the passing of your spouse, I'm sure. Comfort him, help the church and all the people who loved her and were close to her. I pray that you just bless each one, and especially Brother Homer. Lord, I just be with him yesterday, today, and in the coming days. I pray, Lord, as our brother comes out to minister the word, that you just anoint him to speak. Let it be again spiritual food in due season, part of the present day truth. What things that we have need of tonight. Lord, let it be not only exciting, but let it be encouragement. And Lord, if it's not that, if it's rebuke, if it's a cutting or whatever, Lord, whatever you have laid upon his heart to give to us, Lord, we want to receive it. As long as it's in the Bible, that's what we want to hear. Grant these things, Lord. All these other requests that's been mentioned, you know all about them, and we know that somebody's going to have faith to believe for them. We're going to get some testimonies out of them. Touch them, Lord. Make them well, because you promised us, ask abundantly that your joys may be full. We're happy, Lord, to be your children. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Be seated tonight. Well, I know a man who can walk on water anytime, any place, anywhere. And I know a man who can calm a storm anytime, any place, anywhere. A-star and F. If the brothers would like to come lift the offering tonight, let's sing this song together. Lead me, Lord, I'll follow. Anywhere you'll open up the door. I think this is our testimony tonight. I believe it's my testimony. We're blessed to have a heart willing to go where he'll send us. Let's sing that. Lily of the valley, let your sweet aroma fill my life. And rose of Sharon, show me how to grow in beauty in God's sight. Fairest stop in thousands, make me a reflection of your light, your light. Day stars shine down on me, let your love shine through me in the night. Raise your hands if that's your desire. Follow. tonight. Let's sing that chorus again. What's wrong and make it right. They start shining down on me. Let your light shine through me in the night. I'll sing that second verse. Lord, I see a world that's dying, wounded by the master of the sea. Groping in the darkness, haunted by the years past defeat. When I see you standing near me, shining with compassion in your eyes, your eyes. I pray, Jesus, shine down on me. Let your love shine through me in the night. Let's sing it together. Let's sing Be Multiplied. Let's sing this together. God of mercy, sweet love of mine, I have surrendered to your design. May this suffering stretch across. Help me sing it. God of mercy, sweet love of mine, have you surrendered? I have surrendered to your design. May this offering stretch across the sky, and these hallelujah. Sing it. Redeemer is faithful and true. If you'll stand tonight, Brother Joe Harris is going to come out and preach for us. He offered me a great deal tonight. He said he would trade with me. And I'm real happy to be right here. So I know he covets your prayers. That's got to be a nerve-wracking experience. So let's pray just the Lord will use him. I know he's put the time in. He's studied. The Lord's give him a thought to share with us. And let's just have hearts to receive tonight. As he comes, let's sing this together. Indeed, my Redeemer is faithful and true. You'll start that for us.
My Redeemer is faithful and true. Everything he has said, he will do. Every morning, his mercies are new. My Redeemer is faithful and true.
Sing it to him tonight.
My Redeemer is faithful and true. Everything he has said, he will do. Every morning, his mercies are my Redeemer is faithful and true. My Redeemer is faithful and true. Everything he has said, he will do. Every morning, his mercies are faithful and true.
Let's sing it again.
My Redeemer is faithful and true. Everything he has said, he will do. And every morning, his mercies are new. My Redeemer is faithful and true. My Redeemer is faithful and true. Everything he has said, he will do. Every morning, his mercies are new. Is faithful.
Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the honor, Lord, to come speak to the bride tonight, Lord. Lord, for me to hear just to speak to them the notes that I have to read scriptures, Lord. For them just to sit and listen, Lord, it's be no more than dirt speaking to dirt, Lord. Lord, if you would come. It's the heavenly bride, Lord, bridegroom speaking to the bride, Lord. There's no greater thing than that, Lord. There's no greater speech, no greater words that could be spoken than words of heaven, Lord. We thank you for that tonight, Lord. Lord, we want to lift up your name, Lord. We want to step aside, have your way, Lord Jesus. Lord, I like to remember the Longoria family tonight, Lord. They've been family to me for years, Lord. Sister Marge was like another mother to me. Lord, I pray that you'd comfort them, Lord. Some of the family, Lord, are having a real struggle with it right now, not understanding. But Lord, that's where you work your best, Father, when we don't understand. I pray you would touch them. Anoint the people tonight, Lord, that they can receive that which you have for them. Lord, I don't know a single need here. I don't need to know a need, Father. But you do, and we thank you, Lord, that you're mindful of each one. Bless your word tonight in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
If y'all are standing and turning your scripture to Galatians 5. Galatians 5, verse 4 through 7. Paul speaking to the Galatians here. Christ has become of no effect unto you. Whosoever you are justified by the law, you are fallen from grace. For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. You did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? May the Lord add the blessings to his word. If I could speak to a little bit tonight on what hath hindered you. Paul asked the Galatians here, who hath hindered you? As the word has continued down through time, through the seven church ages and church age messengers, the Lord give revelation as the word goes. We found out who, we found out in this age who hinders us, and it's us. It's this man. So tonight, we're going to ask the question, what hath hindered you? Just to give a background on the Galatians here. The Galatians were a collection of Celtic Gauls that were in the area of France. And during that time when Alexander went north and they fled down to Asia Minor, down around Turkey. During that time, they were considered to be barbarians to the civilized world at that time. They weren't educated. So Paul is sent down there by God, following the leading of the Lord to go into the Gentiles. Paul goes down there, brings the word to them, and they accept the word. They've never heard anything like this before, and they accept the word. Paul preaches to them adoption by grace. He preaches them the cross. He preaches that you're saved by the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed for their sins. And they accept it, and they believe it.
Amen.
But it just so happens some of the Jews, teachers and Pharisees, followed them down there. And they didn't necessarily go down there and tell them what Paul told you was wrong. But what they told him was, you have to have this as well. You have to have this too. So had they approached it with like Paul was telling them was wrong, because they loved Paul, they probably wouldn't have took it so well. So they took it both. They started to believe, well, you got to be circumcised. You got to go by you got to have sacrifices. You have to go by the commandments.
Yeah.
So Paul hears tell of this. Word comes back to him. He's going back to the Ephesians, the Corinthians, the different Gentile groups there. And it gets word back to him. So Paul writes him a letter back. And you get to reading the letter. The first time I ever read this, I thought, you know, Paul was really mad at them Galatians. Paul was mad. And then you read it. And I got to think another day when I was reading this for the 100th time. That was not Paul's concern. Paul was not mad at them. We'll get into that in a few seconds. But when Paul goes back down there and writes to him, and the New International Version says, I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you by the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel, which is really no gospel at all. Paul's saying the Old Testament that they're trying to teach you is not the gospel. This is not the good news. That's the law. So Paul begins to tell them, he said, this is really no gospel. Evidently, some people are throwing you into confusion and trying to pervert the gospel of Christ. In the way the Galatians looked at it, they felt like they were... This is going to drag for a minute, but we'll get out of it if you'll bear with me. The Galatians didn't feel like they were turning away from God. They were fervently getting into what Paul had taught them. But they also were getting into what these Judaizers were giving them. And they thought they were all one. So Paul writes them to straighten them out. So the Jews that went down there, I suppose they told them the things that Paul taught you were good. But you have to apply the works. You have to have works. God looks at works. So these people who had done everything with their hands all their life, you know, they were fighters. They were athletic people. So Paul comes back and tells them, you were running so well. What happened? Paul uses something that they could understand. You were running well. He didn't say you were serving God well. He didn't say you were accepting gospel well. He said you were running well. But I got to look at the way that Paul approached them. Who hath hindered you is what he asked them. We're going to look at that. And in Galatians 3:1, Paul says, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you? That you should not obey the truth before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath evidently set forth and crucified among you. So it looks like he's upset at them. You foolish Galatians. But it's not like that. The way I like to look at Paul as looking at what happened to these Galatians was, Paul, your child comes home with a black eye. They get in a fight at school. You say, who done that to you? Who has done this to you? Who hurt you? So Paul is not centering his anger, his indignation on the Galatians. He wants to know who done this. Galatians 5:10 brings that out a little more. I have confidence in you through the Lord, that you will be non-otherwise minded. He that troubleth you shall bear his judgment, whosoever he be. So Paul's saying, whoever caused you to do this, judgment's going to come upon them. So let's look at, you did run well. Who did hinder you that you should obey the truth? Paul says you run well. You did. That's the action that the Galatians, he put upon the Galatians. You did run well. And we look at that word. It's a metaphor taken from runners in a race, to exert oneself, strive hard, to spend one's strength in performing or attaining something. The word occurs in Greek writings denoting to incur extreme peril, which requires exertion of all of one's effort to overcome. I got to looking at this word. And the thing that stood out for me, this is the same word that Jesus used when when he is bringing the parable of the prodigal son. When he explains how the father ran to the prodigal son. And Paul's telling them, you were running this way. You were running with you were exhorting every effort you have. You were giving it your all while you were running. You weren't falling short. You couldn't have gave any more. You know, and I think sometimes, you know, as we look at our own spiritual life, you know, how much are we giving? How much are we running? How much, you know, when we look how we're running this race, are we giving it all we got, or are we giving it to something else? Are we giving it to other things in our life? The greatest race you're running in your life is the thing that's most important to you. Amen. The thing that you give the most time. The thing you run it. Everybody's got a different race in their life. I pray it's this gospel. Amen. This is the only race that will get you across the finish line. Amen. So, and Paul tells him, he says, you're running in this manner. And I got thinking, Lord, the way Jesus used that in the prodigal son, he's telling him, you know, this is the way the Father ran to you. The Father ran to you in such a way that he exerted all his effort. God could not have gave any more when he ran to you. He exerted all he had. Are you giving all you have? Where is our effort? You know, we say all the time, it's almost over. The finish line's right in front of us. We say it all the time. Every day, you know, that's in our minds. And it becomes tradition. Do you really stop and think? Do you think about what you're running to? Is there anything in your life that's holding you back from giving it all you got? Is there anything in your life that you desire so much that you can't give it to this? If God gave that much, His entire self for you, He couldn't have gave no more.
Amen.
He could not have gave. When God looked back at what He gave you, He couldn't have said, I could have gave a little more. He could have never said that.
Amen.
He will never say that. And all He expects from us, we call ourselves the bride. We say Jesus lives in us. Christ lives in us. And Christ said, when you see me, you see the Father. I do as the Father does. That comes to the bride as well.
Amen.
So looking at that, He says, you did run well. You were given it all you had. You couldn't have gave any more. But what hindered you?
Amen.
The Greek word this hinder means to beat back. The devil came down there and tried to beat them off of what Paul was telling them. The devil was trying to hinder them from receiving this adoption Paul was preaching about.
Amen.
Receiving the blood of Calvary.
Right.
Receiving the grace. So what hindered them? We're not going to fall for somebody coming in amongst us and telling us, you know, what Brother Donnie's preaching, what Brother Daryl's preaching, Brother Terry's preaching. You know, it ain't true. You ain't going to fall for that.
No.
You're not going to fall for that. So what hinders you? What hinders us? Not who. We already know who hinders us. It's this old man. Are you letting the old man run the race? Or are you letting the real you run the race? Because I'm going to tell you, if the old man is running for you, you'll never get to the finish line. Because this old man ain't going. This old man is not going across the finish line. So what are we running for? Is it our job? Is it our families?
Think about it.
Are we making enough? Are we making enough money?
Preach it now. Come on.
Yes, sir.
Just because you say God gave you a job, does it mean you give all that time to that job?
That's right.
Preach it.
If God gave you a job, He's going to give you the wisdom to divide your time for that job and for Him.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
It's your family, your money, your husband, your wife. Worldly possessions. What are we racing for?
Come on.
What means the most? What are we trying to gain?
Good question.
People want so much stuff. So much stuff. Let me explain to this. This is not de-Christianizing anybody. This is not making nobody non-bride. But Satan will put everything in your life that is not a sin. That is not a sin. Your job is not a sin. Your vacations are not a sin. Your money is not a sin. Satan will put so many things in our life that's not a sin to turn your head from this race. There's no way he's going to get you to smoke, to look at pornography, to drink, to do drugs. He's not going to get you to do sinful things. He's going to put everything in your life that he can that is not a sin to make you sin.
Yeah. Amen. That's true.
So what are we running for? You're running by the plans and the rules that God laid out in this race? Right here they are.
Amen.
Are you running by these plans? These rules? God has got no clauses in His Word to fit your life. He's got no clauses in His Word to fit your life any different than anybody else's. It's an individual walk, but everybody has the same rules. So we're in a race. Satan's job is to hinder you. Are we going to run by God's rules, the rules that God laid out? In 1958, Brother Branham preached The Mighty Conqueror. He said, just remember this. It's a good lesson for the church of the living God. If you don't play the games according to the rules, we'll be disqualified at the end. You have to keep the rules of the game to win. And if the rules of the game in this place, a man must be born again to enter into the fellowship of Christ and His church. You might be the greatest denomination on the earth, but if we haven't played the rules of the game, we'll be disqualified at the end. Amen. We've come too straight with God. We got to come straight with God's rules. It isn't our rules, it's His rules. We've got to abide by them. We're running the race according to His rules, and we have to abide by them.
Amen.
And when I was studying this, I read this, and I hope I don't offend anybody by using sport analogy in this. Because I got some quotes here, actually in 65, where Brother Branham referred to our interaction as the bribe one another with as a football game. So I reckon I can too. So God tells Paul, we read, I believe it was in Acts when Paul says, I turn away from you, I go to the Gentiles from this time forth. What Paul was doing, God recruited Paul. You read the story, how God came down, Jesus came down the road to Damascus. So he recruited Paul. He said, Paul, I've got a team down here in Asia Minor. Gentiles. And they need a coach. So God required Paul to be his coach. And if I offend anyone, I apologize. That's not, I'm not doing taking that lightly. They need to know how to run. They not only do they need to know how to run, they need to know where they're going. They need to know what they're running for. They need to know what the prize is. So we're going to call Paul the first Gentile coach. So Paul goes down there and he tells him, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doeth easy beset us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us. So he goes down there and he tells them, we're running a race. We'll get into the prize here in a minute. But Paul tells them, we're running a race. How do they know what the rules are? How do they know the play of the game? How do they know how to do it? So Paul begins to write the first playbook.
Yeah.
He begins writing the book. Tells him the plays. This is how you do this. When Satan brings this against you, this is how you counter it. When Satan comes against you with depression, with false doctrine, this is the play to combat that. So Paul tells him, lay aside everything. That is a saying that we apply to our lives every time. We hear it so much preached in here. Lay everything aside that besets you. What's besetting us? What do we have in our life that besets us? To win in a race, you have to run. To finish in a race, you don't necessarily have to run. You can walk. There's going to be many people finish this race. Not everybody's getting on the podium. There's going to be many finish. You're going to have some that walk. You're going to have some that run. This is a bride that runs. So Paul begins to write the playbook. And then as they're going on, as we talked about earlier, they start to look at their own works. Start taking shortcuts. This is the best way to do this. This is the best way to do that. And what Brother Branham said, what it takes to overcome all unbelief. So there's an old proverb that's more than a proverb. No matter how, who is there first? You have to play the rules of the game or you'll never win. If a runner is running around the track, one takes a shortcut, cuts through the field, and beats the other one there by a half hour. He will be disqualified at the end of the race. He's got to play it according to the rules of the game or he's disqualified. And that's the way we do. We have to do. The race of life we're running now. It has to be played according to God's qualifications or we lose when we get there. Whether we're president, whether we're the governor or minister or who, what church you belong to, what denominations, the rules of the game has to be kept. We must run it fair. We must play it by the rules. We must preach the word. We must do it willingly. That's why you see so many people leaving nowadays. They can't accept the rules. They go through the playbook. They don't see any play in there that fits them. The rules are too hard. They try to take shortcuts. That's why you see people go to denominations now and tell you they're as happy as ever. They're trying to take a shortcut. I'm not counting them people out. I would never do that. I still pray and believe that God will bring them back. But still, they're taking a shortcut. Many play the game. Many will finish, like we said, but only elect, few elect, will get on the podium. When you look at the sports world now, they always have all-stars this in sports and basketball and football, baseball. They all have all-stars. Some of you know how they get there. Many don't. They have an election. There's many on that team. There's teams, all kinds of teams. But to make an all-star, to be one of the best, you have to be elected. You have to get in by election. How do they get in on Hall of Fame? It's an election. They get put in the Hall of Fame by election. Brother Mike Price, I've been studying this a long time, and I was studying this last time Brother Mike Price was here when he was preaching about the Hall of Fame. And everybody don't go to Hall of Fame. Everybody don't. When you're good enough and you finally get to go, say, to the Super Bowl, where do you go? That means you're the best. You're the all-stars. Where do you go? You go to the White House. You get a banquet. See, it's not everybody that plays the game gets the big prize. So why do we not get any better? Why do, in our life, we feel like we're just drudging along? We're not running very hard. You feel like you get up in the morning, Lord, I can't go on. People wonder why their spiritual life is so weak. We have practice here 3 times a week. You've got no excuses. You've got no excuses. I go to practice up on the hill. My boy plays up there, and I go practice up there, and you watch them. There's some there that all they care about is getting on the sideline of a football game and letting the cheerleaders know they're on the team. They don't care if they play or not. They're just there. There's some that get mad because they're not the one running the ball. They're not the one playing this position, that position. We have them here. And we got some that just come in and do their job, do what they're supposed to do. They don't gripe. They don't complain. They'll sweep the floor. They'll dust. They'll get somebody a drink of water. They don't care. They'll do whatever they're asked to do. So we have that. People, you can't understand why you're not getting better when you don't practice. You know, you sit there mad because you're not singing, you're not playing the guitar, you're not preaching. Listen, you know, if something like that keeps you from praising God, I feel sorry for you. Well, Brother Joel makes me sit down. Brother Louie makes me stand up. Brother Joel makes me raise my hands. Brother Louie makes me clap. Brother Louie says, give Jesus Christ a hand clap of praise. Listen, I'm not clapping to Brother Louie. I'm not raising my hands because Brother Joel told me to. He just reminded me. Listen, if I can sit there, if I get upset because I have to raise my hands or give Jesus Christ a hand clap of praise, you know what you're telling Christ? My disappointment is more worthy than your praise. So if we can pray you past that, we can use you on the team. Listen, we're going to make this through. We're going to get through this as a body. It's like me and Brother Darrell was talking earlier. It's an individual walk. It's an individual race. But before you can recognize you are the bride, you got to recognize where you are as an individual. It's not a collective memory of knowing you're the bride. It's each individual knowing they're the bride. Thank you for that, Brother Darrell. But then you got people says, I can't do it. I can't, you know, I come to practice. I can't do it. That's the devil telling you that. The greatest example I can tell you of somebody persevering through something and self-will. Many of y'all remember Buster Douglas. Buster Douglas was a boxer. He was getting ready to fight Mike Tyson. Mike Tyson was 37-0. Never been beat. Most of his knockouts were in the first round. Buster Douglas was a nobody. Absolute nobody. Buster Douglas's mom died 2 days before the fight. Before she died, she told everybody, my baby's going to beat Mike Tyson. He got knocked down in the seventh round. If it wasn't for the bell, he would have been knocked out, lost the fight. He come back in the 10th round and knocked Mike Tyson out. Human will. Human will. That's all it was. God didn't tell him. God didn't tell him nothing. You're in a fight every day of your life. I think of this every time Brother Joel Brown gets up and sings the Champion of Love. We're in a fight every day of our life. Over here, we got the devil in this corner. Satan's got his little demons over here. Sickness, cancer, diabetes, back problems, financial problems, depression, bitterness, sin. Anything you can imagine, he's got him in this corner over here. And he's yelling at him. Telling him, you're going to get that son of God right there, or I'm sending you back to hell. You're going to go in there and you're going to attack him. You're going to beat him with fear and doubt. You're going to beat him with reasoning. And then there's the son of God standing over here, getting ready to face it. You think God's standing over yelling at him, beating him, and telling him what he's going to do? If you don't do this, if you don't beat this cancer, if you don't beat this sin, I'm going to send you to hell. God would never do that. Never do that. But there you are. You're everybody's battle is different. Everybody here tonight, if you could put yourself in a ring tonight with something that beats you back, something that just gets at you and you can't seem to get over that hump, and you're in the corner. Mike Tyson would be in the corner and Customato would come up on that side of the ring and say things to him. He wouldn't yell at him. Imagine God doing that to you. You're getting ready to go into battle. What do you think God would say to you? He wouldn't be yelling at you. He wouldn't be giving you some doctrine that you don't understand. I believe God would come up to you and say, you see that devil of cancer out there, Brother Keith? You can beat him anytime, any place, under any condition.
Amen.
That's a quote Brother Branham gave.
That's right.
Any
Amen.
Condition. And he would let you go. If Buster Douglas could take self-will from something that a human being told him and do something that the odds on him were 47-1. And he overcame all the odds. And you have a God telling you that has never failed. Not one time has never failed. He's never lied. And he tells you, you can beat him. You can beat him. It's up to us to believe it. It's up to us. You get your gloves on. We'll call them faith and praise. And you go in there and you start beating him back. God's not going to put you in a game. He's not going to put you in a ring. He's not going to put you in a race without properly giving you the proper equipment. He's given you everything that you need. The playbook's being written. The playbook for this age has been written. We wonder, you know, Satan throws this situation at me. Where's it at in the Word that I can get the play for this. Satan comes against you. God says, I'll drop a play here in Isaiah 59:19. When the enemy comes in, like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. You get sick. God says, well, let's put a play right here in Mark. Mark 16:18. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. You get depressed. God says, I got a play for that. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Any need that you have, God says, I'll drop another one down in John. John 15:8, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask whatever you will and it shall be done unto you. You say, Brother Joe, he talks to me all the time. Satan talks to me all the time. I can't hear God from Satan. He talks to me all the time. That's his job. You've got to have an opponent. You have to have an opponent. It's not a competition if there's not an opponent in there. It's just a jog. There's nothing pushes you harder than an opponent. So you say, Satan talks to me all the time. Well, God dropped one in there too. Revelation 18:4 said, I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people. Run, my people. Run this race. That's the other voice from heaven. So he's not going to put you in the race without properly equipping you. So on a football team, you think they're going to stick a lineman in there to be the quarterback? You think they're going to put a cheerleader out there to be the running back? They're not properly equipped. You got to be properly equipped. That's where this comes in. This not only has the list for every play that you need, this has all the equipment you need. So when you get out there and you're performing your best, you're giving it all. How do you think God is reacting? How do you think God reacts when you give it your best? Sometimes you don't feel like you're giving your best. And sometimes, Brother Bram said, you feel like he's not even there. You feel like he's not there. Do you slow down? Do you come to a jog? Do you come to a walk? Do you raise your hand to be taken out of the game? Because God, I can't feel the team owner here. So I need a break. It's in you. It's born in you. You don't want to come out. You feel like it sometimes, but you don't want to come out. And we need each other. Your brother, sister, your teammate gets weak, gets dragged down. We're here to lift him up. We're here to lift one another up. If I make it, you're going to make it. If we're all bride, you're not making it without me. You're not making it without me at all. It's teamwork. But don't get upset if you're not the one, the featured running back, if you're not the star runner in the race, if you're not the 10-1 favorite in the match. It takes us working together. Listen, you're here to protect me, and I'm here to protect you. We need each other. I told you I had this. I'm going to read this. This is 1962, The Influence of Another. But Bram said, when you're playing a ball game and it's football season, the thing we want to do is not everybody try to take the ball away from the man that's got it. We're trying to make, he's trying to guard that man, protect him. Let him get through. We're trying to make a goal, see? But could you imagine a team so untrained as to find one man, their own man, with a ball running to the field goal? Then instead of trying to knock the enemy away from him, the opposing team, to let your own man that's got the ball take off with it. Every man trying to take the ball out of his hand. Why, you're bound to lose. And today we have the same thing. When we see God come on the scene and going to bless a certain thing, let's keep all the enemies from it. Just because you ain't got the ball don't mean you can't block. You have to block. If Brother Terry's running the ball, I'm blocked for him. Today we have the same thing. When we see God come on the scene doing a certain, going to bless a certain thing, let's keep all the enemies away from it. Let's use our influence as tackles, not runners, tackles that protect the runner. Let's him pack the ball through because there's no opposition. All he has to do is just keep running, and we should be tackles. You're always going to get to run the ball. Now, I assure you, you're not going to want to run the ball. If it's not your play, if your number don't get called, you don't want to run the ball. You're out of your place. Running the ball sometimes will include sickness. It will include financial downfall. All kinds of things. Hardships. I was studying this, and I hope you don't mind, Sister Alice. I got to thinking of Sister Alice going through her kidney disease and all that she went through. I got to thinking, you know, Satan come up with a plague called kidney disease. I know Brother Terry would have run the ball for her. But God said, you can't run it. She can. Why wouldn't Brother Terry get to run that ball? Why wouldn't God let Brother Terry? Brother Terry would have done it in a heartbeat. He'd have took it. Why wouldn't he let Brother Terry run the ball for Sister Alice? Because she couldn't have blocked like he could.
That's good, man.
We have to block. Your ball might be cancer. Your ball might be bitterness. It might be depression. Who knows what it might be? I don't want your ball. But I will block with everything I got for you. I will give it all I got for you. That's when you have a team. Sometimes the ball might be a blessing. You might get jealous. Instead of getting jealous, why don't you block for them with that blessing? If we can stop for a minute and look at when Jesus was handed the ball. God pulled every blocker off the field and gave him the ball and said, run it. There was nobody blocking for him. Everything that you had, every sin that you could even thought of was placed on him. That was his ball. That's what he ran with. Who blocked for him? You couldn't. His own father didn't block for him. And he took it into the face of the enemy. Satan put everything he had on the field. But because he did that, you don't have to. Because he was willing to do that one particular play. He made a way for you to do all the others. Brother Bram said, and this was in 65, door to the door. Now, if you try to take the ball away from your own man, you're just messing up your team. Guard your man, see? Keep guarding him. Keep the rest of them so he can make the run. We'll have the touchdown after a while. And Jesus will come, and then it'll all be over. Brother Branham says, the Lord bless you. What a way to end the service talking about football. But don't get upset because you're not running the ball. You're still running. You're still in the race. You're still in the game. When my oldest played football, you know, we all, a bunch of linemen, people after the game, you hear them, you know, them linemen, they don't ever get no credit for nothing. All the stars go to the running back, the receivers, the quarterback, the linebackers. They did all the work. They didn't want none. That was their job. They were finding their place. If every single one of us could find our place in the playbook, quit worrying about how you're playing the ball, how you're running the ball, how you're doing your play. If you're taking my spot, you're taking her spot, find your own spot. Because a team that's got individuals on it that don't know their spot don't know they're a team. They ain't figured it out. As we're running, this bride's running.
Yes.
She's giving it all she's got. One thing different about this bride is she's not getting weaker. She's not getting weaker. She's not running out of wind. She's giving it all she's got. This bride's strongest moment will be when she steps across the line. She'll never be any stronger than she will be at that time when she crosses the finish line. That will be her strongest moment. So she's not getting weaker. But we got to do it together. We got to finish strong together.
Amen.
You see a brother or sister that's on your team. It seems like they can't figure their spot out. They're trying. They're trying to figure it out. Pick them up. Pray for them. Block for them. When I was a freshman in high school, I ran cross country. We didn't have a lot of people on the team, so freshmen ran with the varsity. I wasn't any good. I just ran. But I was 14 years old. We had a senior on the team who was like top 10 in the state. His name was Billy Parker. Billy could run. So I get out there and I start running. Billy says, "You stay with me. Get my pace." He slowed his pace down so I could keep up. It amazes me the things that, little things that stick with you.
Sure.
I begin to lag back because even when Billy slowed his speed down, I couldn't keep up with him. Billy said, "Grab my jersey."
Come on.
He was a senior. He was popular, you know. He said, "Joe, grab my jersey." He literally tried to pull me around.
Sure.
And I got to thinking about that.
Yeah.
Do we offer that kind of help one to another?
Good.
Sure, you know, there's people who have that earthly love, friendship. I'll put it this way, if I can explain it best. Sometimes I get in service. The service is really good. I see people worshiping. And everybody does it. They don't make you not a Christian, make you not have the Holy Ghost. But it's just like a battle to get through sometimes into worship. And there's certain people that I see worship. I don't care to tell you, and I won't embarrass him. He's my buddy, Greg Robbins. When I see Brother Greg worship, I reach over and I grab his jersey.
Yeah.
I let him. I've done it with Brother Terry, Sister Tessa. Violet. I see somebody, the Holy Ghost, and they get that second wind. Billy would get a second wind and he would leave me and he'd say, "Joe, grab my jersey."
Come on.
You know, that's teamwork. You know, I hope you don't mind, but Terry, Brother Greg, I'm going to reach over spiritually and I'm going to grab that jersey and I'm going to let you pull me in. That's what we do. That's what we do. We're here for each other.
Amen.
We don't win the race as a bride till all of us are across the line.
Right.
When we run cross country, you know, the team was not considered finished unless till the last runner was in. And that was it. I don't care if you were last. Your team wasn't done until you came in. We've been in a relay race. You can look at it this way. We've been in a relay race for over 2,000 years. Paul takes the baton and takes off. He takes it and he runs and he runs and he runs in that first church age. And as he runs, he hands it off to Irenaeus, and Irenaeus runs.
Amen.
Runs and runs. And then to Martin, Columba, and so on.
Yes.
You ever watched a relay race? When a runner has the baton and the runner's taken off, you got another runner in front of him that he at a certain line in the track that's waiting for that baton. That second runner does not stand there and wait. He does not stand there and wait for that baton. He takes off running. And that previous church age runs right into that next church age. That, when Brother Branham took off running, the seventh church age, I'm jumping ahead here a minute. He didn't start out with a baton. He was Baptist. He didn't have this word yet. He didn't have this word. But he was running with his hand back. He knew something was coming. You got to keep the hand back. Brother Branham was talking about it in the Philadelphia church age. If you want to go read it, I don't have a quote here. I just wrote some notes down. He said there's an overlapping, a melting or a fading into rather than an abrupt end or a clear start.
Yes, sir. Always.
So the runner has to run into the next stage. Has to hand off the playbook from age to age to age. The playbook gets more explained as it's being handed off. Look at Martin Luther. He was Catholic. He didn't start off with this. He had to run away before he ever had justification figured out. John Wesley had to run a while before he ever the baton of sanctification was ever handed to him. So if they had to run the race, we've got to run the race. But as we look at the way that race was sanctification or justification came up to justificate sanctification didn't stop. It didn't stop at the sixth church age line. You have to have it too. It had to carry on with it. Justification had to carry on through with baptism of the Holy Spirit. It had to continue with it to the seventh age. But now that the seventh age has the baton. What's that last runner called? The last runner is called the anchor. It's the anchor. The anchor is the one that crosses the finish line with the word. Every single word, every dot, everything that was carried from Paul to Irenaeus to Martin to Columba on down to every church ages. This bride will cross the finish line with it. So Paul, jump back to Paul a minute. So Paul, as he's speaking to the Gentiles, he's telling them we're going to run a race. He explains to them what the word to them. He has to tell them about a prize. He ain't going to tell them you're running for nothing. When you start out the season, say a football game, you're playing for the Lombardi Trophy. You know it's there at the end. You've got to get it. Baseball, you're playing for the pennant. You know it's there. You don't go in blindly. When you enter a race, those that run, you know what's at stake. So Paul was telling them, there's a prize. Yeah. Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 9, he says, know ye not that they which run in a race, one receiveth the prize? So run that you may obtain. Yeah. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Excuse me. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an uncorruptible. Amen. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means when I have preached to others I myself would be a castaway. So he says, run for the prize, one that you may obtain. The word obtain means to lay hold of. As one to make one's own, to seize upon, take possession of Christ by his holy power and influence, laying hold of the human mind and will in order to prompt and govern it. Christ basically putting your mind on cruise control. Your spirit has control of your mind. The spirit of Christ. You're focused on one thing, and that's the prize. Nothing else matters. That's what your mind is set on. Paul says, run that you may obtain. Run that you may... Don't think of nothing else. Don't think of the runner beside you. Don't think of anything that would beset you. You keep your mind on the prize and keep running. So Paul tells him in the Philippians, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. This word press is to run swiftly in order to catch a person or thing. To run after, to press on. Figurative of one who runs a race runs swiftly to reach the goal in a hostile manner, to pursue in a hostile manner. Basically, similar to what we said the word run was, to exert all your energy, to exert everything that you've got. Paul's saying, I press towards the mark in a hostile manner because nothing else matters. Nothing else matters. In sports, they call the running backs that run like that, they call them running angry. Paul says, I'm running angry. Nothing's going to stand between me and the prize.
Amen.
If Satan gets in front of me, I'm running him over.
Amen.
That's the mindset we have to have as the bride.
Amen.
The prize is before us. If God could open our eyes spiritually and show us how close it was, show us how close we are to the end.
Think about it.
He wants you to see it through the Word. But if He was to open your mind and let you see it, it'd surprise you, I believe. It'd surprise you how close we're to the end.
Amen.
I'm not slowing down for nobody. If you want to walk, you can walk. If you want to sit, take a drink, whatever. When I run cross country, many times I was the last one on my team, but I never walked. I never walked. I couldn't run fast. But I had stamina, and I could run. I would pass people that walked. I would beat many people that walked. I remember I was telling somebody not too long ago in the state of Kentucky where I ran at, over at Boyle County, over at Danville. They had a state invitation. Teams from all over the state. I placed 157th. Proud of that. There's about 500 people in the race, so I didn't do that bad. But I think I was last on my team. But my team finished. We finished the race. We didn't walk. We didn't trot. We ran. We finished the race. So Paul says, I press towards the mark. The mark, the distant mark looked at, the goal or end one has in view. To me, the key word there, in view.
That's it.
It's not out of view. It's in view. We've laid our spiritual eyes upon the goal.
Amen.
We can see it. Brother Bram says in the exposition of the seven church ages, chapter 4, a crown given to the winner of the Olympic race was a garland of olive branches. But the crown spoken of here in Revelation given to a martyr is the crown of royalty. Jesus calls it the crown of life. The one crown is for those who have striven. Others are for those who have given. Both crowns are incorruptible. They will not perish. The winners of the worldly race of life will soon lose the joy of the plaudits of the world. Their glory will fail. But those who give their lives for God, either by daily striving or shedding their blood as the crowning sacrifice of their lives, will be given the crown of life.
Amen. Amen.
That's your prize. You know, to the world, it might not sound like much. There's nothing in the world that I want more.
Amen.
Nothing. And I'm going to run till I get it.
Amen.
The thing that I like about Paul was a leader by example. He was not telling the Gentiles, this is what you do, this is how you need to run, this is what you need to do. He wasn't telling them that by not knowing how to run the race. Paul ran it. Paul fought the fight. He got in the ring. He carried the ball. Paul knew how to do it. In 2 Timothy 4:7, Paul says, I fought a good fight.
That's it.
I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them that love his appearing. This word course on here, I don't mean to keep throwing word definitions to you, I apologize. But the word course that is given here, it's alternate to the word run that we looked at earlier, which Jesus used in the prodigal son. Paul says, I have finished my course. He's saying, I have finished running with all I had. I have finished giving my all. I have nothing left to give because I've gave it all. And through it all, I've kept the faith.
Amen.
I ran hostile. I run out of extreme peril. I ran exerting all I had to overcome. I have finished that.
Yes.
And I still kept the faith.
Praise the Lord.
See, Paul had faith that he would reach the prize. The same spirit that led Paul through that age down through every age, is the same Spirit leading through this age. We see people that are being influenced now to change the playbook, as we would call it, add to it, take it away, get it to fit their life, get it to fit the race they're running, get it to fit the game they're running. But we're in a race. We're in a spiritual race. We got to finish quickly. Brother Branham said, what it takes to overcome. There's an old proverb that's more than a proverb. No matter who is there first, you have to play the rules of the game or you'll never win. If a runner is running around the track and one takes a shortcut, cuts through the field, and beats the other one there by half hour, still, he will be disqualified at the end of the race. He's got to play it according to the rules of the game or he's disqualified.
Amen.
Why would anybody, knowing what the rules of the game, knowing that God put the rules there,
Amen.
Why would we try to alter that? Why would we try to change that? That's man-made. It's not going to work.
Amen.
It's been God's been that way all through every church age. It's the same rules for everybody. He didn't change them with each church age. He didn't change them at all. Brother Branham said, and that's the way we have to do. The race of life that we're running now has to be played according to God's qualifications, or we lose when we get there. I believe we read that earlier. I must have had it in here twice. Paul said, I believe in Hebrews, the 12th chapter, that seeing we are compassed about with such a great cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight and sin that doth beset us, that we may run the patience, the race that's set before us. Paul was speaking in the Olympics and so forth, and that was in Greece and Rome and so forth. He knowed you had to play that game fair. If you didn't, you'd be disqualified. And tonight, as born-again Christians, as believers here at the end time, we've got to play the game according to the rules. We've got to run the patience, the race that's set before us, looking to the author and finisher, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And everybody's going to run with me. Stand.
Praise the Lord. Good praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
Well, Terry, I don't know about you, but I'm not walking.
No.
I'm not walking.
I've
done made up my mind. Well, I might get hindered. I can promise you I might get hindered. But you're living in a time and age when people don't want to run this race no more.
Yeah.
They've lost the view of what's at the finish line.
That's right.
They've lost their desire.
That's right.
They lost the concept of team. It's a body move.
Amen.
It's a body move. Each individual finding their place on the team.
Yeah. Yes.
When everybody does what they're supposed to on a football team, when everybody does their assigned positions, you got winners.
Amen.
You have winners. I remember, as I was telling you, I run cross country as a freshman. And I wasn't the fastest. But growing up in the message, there's things that you stand out to you. And when my friends, you know, we hear all the time, you know, Brother Branham said that somebody would be there to greet you. So there's those on the sidelines cheering you on. Those that have crossed the finish line cheering you on. You know, we had a coach, Coach Garnet Parker. Coach Parker would get there early, many times, and possibly go over the track. He would go before you. And you know, and he could let you know if when you come out of the woods, it's going to go, the trail's going to the right. Stay low. Don't get up on the high side. It's rocky up there. Different things. And I got to think about that. You know, the seventh age coach that we had in this age, he's done the same thing. I was reading the other day when he was saying he had that vision of the bride. He was screaming out to her, stay in line.
Stay in line.
He was fulfilling his position as a coach.
Amen.
He, I don't know if he looked at it that way. This is just analogy, so it's not a type. I'm not typing. And one thing that stood out to me when I ran, many times me or one of the other guys there, freshman, we'd be last. But my friends that had gone, had crossed over, they'd come down the side. I'd be 200 or 300 yards away, and it'd be many times your last stretch would be straight. And they'd start yelling at you, run. Don't let that guy behind you catch you. He's gaining on you. Run. Give it all you got. You would look down, and the end line, you could see Coach Parker up there screaming at you. Joe, you better run. And you ran. If Coach Parker told you to run, you ran. I don't care how dead you were, you ran. But in thinking of that, do you realize how many people that have crossed over tonight, just tonight in this service, are cheering you on, are screaming out to you, don't stop. Don't stumble. Stay on the low side. Don't go too far on the high side. We've been that way before. We know where it leads. They're encouraging you. A great cloud of witnesses.
That's right.
And you got a prophet on the other side of the finish line that's standing there watching you. His voice is still screaming out.
Praise the Lord.
I was telling Brother Darrell before service, I talked to Gary Longoria today. Sister Marge, she was like a mom to me. I lived down there for a while, and I'd come over and eat, hang out with Gary, and we weren't in church. Half the time I was down there, I went to Church of Christ because they had chili suppers. But we'd go over there and eat, and she'd feed us. She'd say, you going to service this weekend? We'd make up something. I never told them they didn't have chili, so it wasn't coming. But she let us know it's where we needed to be.
Yeah.
And I got to see her the other day, and Brother Darrell said, that's the first time she's ever told me she loved me. Not that she didn't. I knew she did. But he was telling me, he said, shortly before she passed, he said, Deanna came out of the room and told Brother Homer, said, she's in there talking to Danny Williams. I don't know if any of y'all remember Brother Danny Williams. Wonderful minister. He's passed on many years ago from Louisiana. Said she's, him and Brother Homer were like best buddies. When you go to, they have services. When you've seen one, you've seen the other. They were always together. He says, she's in there talking to Danny Williams. He said, it scared the girls. It just made them really nervous. And Brother Homer went in there and said, she looked at Brother Homer. She said, Homer, she said, that Danny Williams, he's still a jokester. He said, he was. If you knew Brother Danny, there was never a serious bone in his body. Even when he was preaching sometimes, he was always cutting up. But, you know, I thought, you know what? I think somebody had told me that Brother Homer had told her a day or two ahead of time she was nervous about crossing. Brother Homer said, don't worry. The prophet said, you know, somebody would come down there that you knew to make it easy for you. And if anybody could, Brother Danny could. So, she had somebody meet her at the finish line.
Amen.
And so I encourage you tonight, don't quit running.
Amen.
Don't quit running.
Yes, sir. Amen. That's right.
If we could see where we're at, if we could come together as a body, as a bride. Listen, the bridegroom will not take a bride that has jealousy, envy, anger, hatred. It takes perfect love.
Amen.
That's all that's there. That's all. Brother Bram said, it's all was there was perfect love. So in order for you to cross that line, the only thing you'll take across that line is perfect love.
That's
right. So don't quit running. Whatever you do. If you got loved ones that's lost, that's not saved, encourage them. It's about over.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Let's bow our heads.
Good preaching.
Heavenly Father, Lord, I love you with all my heart. There's not one part of me that don't love you, Lord. Lord, I look at my life sometimes and I see things that beset me along the way. I see stumbles that I have. Lord, but not one time has it ever quenched my desire to run. Not one time. Lord, I love running. I love it with all my heart. Sure, I get tired. I get weary. But Lord, you're the author and the finisher of our faith, Lord. The finisher part is the part I love the most. That means you will complete that what you've started. Lord, as we look at the bride around the world, Lord, we see things happening, Father. We've seen miracles. We see you move in ways, Lord, that people can't explain, Lord. There's great works. But Lord, that's not what's going to take us across the finish line. Lord, when the miracles, Lord, started to stop in the prophet's ministry, Lord, and he turned to the Word, many people fell away. Those miracles weren't going to carry him over the finish line. It's the Word, Lord. It's the playbook, Lord. If we go by every word, if we find our place in every position, Lord, we're going to make it across. Lord, I pray that you would help every person here, Lord. Lord, if they don't have a desire to run, Lord, I pray you put it there. If they don't have a desire to help someone else, Lord, I pray you put it there, Father. There's just not a single person here, Lord, that I don't need. And there's not a single person here that don't need me, Father. Lord, I pray that you bless them. Lord, to me, these are the greatest people on the face of the earth, Lord. It's such an honor, Father, to come up here and speak to them, Father. In the old chopped up way I do every time. But Lord, I'm honored anyway. Pray that you bless them, Lord. You, Lord. Brother Harry, would you play Running My Last My Home? I'm not one for altar calls. I don't think I've ever made one. But if you ain't running, you're going to run somewhere. You're going to run for something or someone.
When I come to the end of my journey, I live my lifetime for this day alone. I just saw the light and I'm getting a little bit anxious. I started out walking, but I'm running my last mile home. Yes, I started out walking, but I'm running my last mile home. Ring the bell. Blow the horn, shout hallelujah. Jordan, roll on back, let me through. Angels, take me to the throne. Little David, play the prettiest music. I'm a weary pilgrim running my last mile. Running my last mile. I've met with many crossroads on my journey, but never once has my God led me wrong. The deserts and the valleys lie behind me. This road heads straight and I'm running my last mile home. Yes, I started out walking, but I'm running my last mile. Ring the bell, blow the horn, shout hallelujah. Jordan, roll on back, let me through. Angels, take me to the throne. Little David, play the prettiest music. I'm a weary pilgrim running my last mile. I'm a weary pilgrim running my last mile. Heaven's claimed so many smiling faces, till I don't feel at home here anymore. Well, I just heard the sound of old familiar voices. They're singing a new song I never heard before. Yes, they're singing a new song I never heard before. Oh, ring the bell, blow the horn, shout hallelujah. Jordan, roll on back, let me through. Angels, take me to the throne. Little David, play the prettiest music. I'm a weary pilgrim running my last mile. I'm a weary pilgrim running my last mile home. I'm a weary pilgrim. But I'm not slowing down, I'm not quitting, I'm running. We're gonna run our last mile home.
I think my greatest desire getting out of here is I'm tired of this life. I'm tired of what I see, what I go to work every day. I want to change. I want to feel something different. You know, I want to be able to see the Father. I want to see my loved ones over there. I want to see streets of gold. I want to see a crystal river. I want to see whatever that God has for me over there. Amen. And I'm not the type that I'll settle for anything in heaven. I'm not. I'm going inside the city. I want to know what it's like to be in the city. Because I'm tired of knowing what it's like here. But y'all just pray for me and I'll pray for you. You get to sing one. I want to know what it's like or something like that. God bless y'all. Appreciate y'all very much.
To make my way down the streets of gold, I want to know how it feels to have a talk with the saints of old. I want to know what it's like to rest my feet by the river of life. I've heard of heaven and I know that it's real. I want to know how it feels. I want to know how it feels of gold. I want to know how it feels to have a talk with the saints of old. I want to know what it's like to rest my feet by the river of life. I've heard of heaven and I know that it's real. I want to know how it feels. Mom and Daddy talked about going home since I was just a babe on their knee. They said that nothing compared what was waiting up there, how one day I would finally be free. I've never seen it, but I'll keep believing it'll be a place like I've never known. I'll keep my eyes on the sky. My soul wants to fly. Lord, my heart is ready to go. I want to know how it feels to make my way down the streets of gold. I want to know how it feels to have a talk with the saints of old. I want to know what it's like to rest my feet by the river of life. I've heard of heaven and I know that it's real. And I'm going to know how it feels. I'm going to know. Let's hear it. I'm going to know how it feels to make my way down the streets of gold. I'm going to know how it feels
if I have to run angry,
to have a talk with the saints of old. I'm going to know what it's like to rest my feet by the river of life. And I'm gonna know how it feels.
He is higher than the highest, greater than the grave. No one will ever take his crown away. Mighty than the mightiest, he reigns from above. He's the all-time undisputed, undefeated champion of love. Ladies and gentlemen, may I have your attention? I would like to introduce to you, in my corner of the good and the right, stands a champion robed in white. His height exceeds the heaven, and his weight outweighs the world. His reach reaches everywhere. His age is evermore. He is higher than the highest, and he's greater than the grave. No one could ever take his crown. Undefeated champion of love. And he left his hometown to enter this arena, to raise his hands in victory for you and me. But this angry crowd, they crucified my king who wore the crown. And they gladly watched the champion going down. But I will never count him out, for I am a witness of the day he arose to reclaim the title champion of love. He is higher than the highest, and he's greater than the grave. No one could ever take his crown away. He's more mighty than the mightiest, great from above.
Blessed be your holy name. What a mighty coach we have. Amen. What a mighty captain of our team. Amen. What a wonderful privilege it is to be a Christian. And to be on the winning side. If you look in the back of the playbook, we win. I don't care how bad it looks, we win. It's wonderful. I just really enjoyed the service. Now, did you enjoy what the Lord had for us? Thank you, Brother Jordan. You know, I was thinking, I also ran cross country, not in high school. I ran it in the Army. I remember one race, and just we'll pray and close, but I used to, I would always try to hold back when the gun went off. I would train at a certain pace, but I would never run that pace at the start of the race. I would run a different pace, and I would always hold back. And it was about the 3.2 mark that I would start kicking, and that's when I would kick into the pace that I trained. And I did that because when the gun went off, a lot of people took off like, you know, they had 10 yards to run, and it just went. But then they would start falling back. But it always gave me, built my confidence when I started catching up with the ones that was way out in front of me, and I would actually start passing them. And I learned that when you hit the top of a hill, it's just human nature to kind of relax a little bit. And so I would always use that moment to kick harder and to come down the hill, and not in a relaxed but in a hostile fashion, which I didn't understand that until tonight. But that's what I did. I would run like that. And I remember it was right after this certain race, and it was about the 5-mile mark of the race. I run the 10K, 6.2 miles, and I come down off of a hill. And, of course, we were running in Fort Bragg, and we hit in the bottom of this hill was heavy sand. And I remember this particular race, I come down off the hill, and at 5 miles I was tired. And like Brother Joe said, you just start giving everything you've got. When you start kicking, you just start kicking. And I remember coming down into that sand and hitting it, and oh, my lungs were on fire and my legs were on fire. And I couldn't, anybody that's ever ran in sand, you know, it's just so hard to get your legs. And I didn't even notice him when I first came down off of the hill, but one of my teammates, Wilkerson, had pulled a hamstring. And like Brother Joe said, your team has to finish the race. So he was heading towards the finish line with a pulled hamstring. And when I hit the sand, all of a sudden, I heard this voice. It began to say, "Run, Ward, run. You can make it. You can do it." I was with an airborne unit. He started hollering, "Airborne, airborne, you can do it, Ward. You can do it, Ward." And when I climbed the hill, I could still hear him. When I crossed over the other hill, he was still yelling with everything within him. "Run, Ward. Finish the course." That day I finished 12th out of 850-some runners. I finished 12th that day because somebody encouraged me. You know, I may not be able to preach like Brother Terry or Brother Joe or some of these other brothers. You may not be able to do something somebody else can do, but there's one thing we can all do. We can encourage one another. We can lift one another up. We can be each other's friend. Amen. We can make sure, as Brother Joe said, we can grab a hold of each other's jersey and make sure we take our brother across the line. Because there's one goal we all want to do. I just want to go to Daddy's house. I just want to sit at his table. You get tired. I just want to go sit down and be home. There's something about being home. Thank you, Brother Joe. We certainly enjoyed that tonight. So let me encourage you. Let me encourage you to keep running. Don't worry if you can't run as fast as Brother Donnie. We're all going to cross the line. Just get across the line. Amen. May the Lord richly bless you. We're leaving in the morning for Wisconsin. We got some meetings starting up there on Friday night on the Menominee Indian Reservation. We're going to do an outreach and just pray that the Lord will give us wisdom. We can say the right words to help those Indian folk up there in Wisconsin. And we certainly appreciate it. Brother Kevin Casadora, Apache brother from San Carlos, is going to be in the meetings with me there. And just going to try to do a little outreach on the reservation up there. So just desire your prayers that the Lord will just lead us and guide us. And may God go with you. Amen. And if I don't see you no more, I'll see you on the finish line. Amen. Just keep running. Let's just bow our heads. Heavenly Father, Lord, as I heard your prophet say the other day, how that you condescended down, Lord, to become flesh. You said it was God getting in me to help you. And God, the prophet said it was God getting in you to help me. But truly, Lord, that's eternal life, is living our lives for others. In such a selfish age, Lord, when everyone lives for their self, help us, dear God, to live a selfless age, that we would live our lives for others. And to tell the story in the army during the battle when the soldier was wounded and the sergeant told him to drop the man, that he was too heavy to carry, but the man kept trying to carry him. And as the story goes, as I understand, Father, it was a true story that the sergeant ordered him a couple of times to drop the man. He was too heavy. Finally, the man yelled back and said, "Sarge, he ain't too heavy. He's my brother." He tried to get his brother off the battlefield. Lord, help us carry one another. Encourage one another. Help one another, Lord, that we all may cross the finish line. Lord, we may not be as swift as someone else. Our style of running may not be as pleasant maybe as someone else's run. But Lord, as we cross the line safely home, bless my brother, my sister, Lord, those that are in need, God. Brother Homer, Lord, I know his heart's heavy. Losing Sister Margie, just comfort the family. Lord, help him, I pray, Father. God, go with us the rest of the week. Keep our brothers and our sisters safe, Lord. Bless their families. May your presence be felt in their homes, God. May you sit at their table, God, we pray. May their needs be met, Lord. May their hearts be full of your mercy. We just commit them into your hands for your glory. Go with us, Lord, as we travel. Bring us safely home, we pray. We just thank you, Lord, for all that we've done, and for that great cloud of witnesses, Lord, who shouts the words of encouragement, "You can make it. You can make it." For Father, we realize we've been anointed to run this final race, the anchor runners, Lord. They don't have to be the ones that has the ability to pass, because we're not passing the baton. We're packing it across the finish line. Those anchor runners, Lord, they have to be the strongest, the quickest runners. As they cross that line, Lord, may we be faithful, we pray. Bless Brother Joe, Lord. Bless him on the job. Keep him safe, Father. Bless his ministry. Use him in a great way. Thank you for all you've done for us and all you've given us. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, saints. You're dismissed in the fear of the Lord. Isn't it wonderful to be a Christian? Amen. May the Lord go with you, be our prayer.
Gonna make it. You already said that I would. I'll keep on trusting. He's working everything for my good. He walks beside me, and heaven is in my view. Oh, I'm gonna make